Church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we pray that your day is off to a glorious start, that it's off to a glorious process, and it will be off to a glorious finish as you walk hand in hand with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for tuning in and building up your spirit. We've been going through a sermon series at church, and it's a discipleship series that God has given me. It falls in line with the acronym for discipleship. And one of the things that we were talking about is that in the kingdom of God, God is all about building people up. He is. Now, that means that there's got to be some things that are taken out of the way. I mean, Jesus came to destroy the devil and the works of the devil. But all that does is clear the foundation so he can build us up into what we were intended to be all along. And so I pray that you are having a wonderful, wonderful week, and that you are not only being built up, but you are building other people up as well. So our next big event at Merit Assembly of God will be our 70th anniversary service. That is coming up on June the 12th, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. We are going to be presenting some gifts to people that day that we have had made, constructed, put together, whatever term you want, and just as a way of being a blessing. That's what we are called to do. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we pray that you will be as well. So if you have been listening to the Refresh radio program, never attended Merit Assembly of God, but you were thinking maybe one of these days you'd come for a special event, we'd like to invite you out to our Sunday morning service. We won't be having a Sunday night service on that day. That will be on June the 12th, and we will be having Malcolm Burleigh speaking for us. He's our U.S. Home Missions Director, a person I've known for, a long time ago, 37 years, I believe it is, that when I first ran across him. And he has just really blossomed in his ministry, is a powerful preacher. In fact, the last time I heard him preach, I said, "Hey, can I get a copy of those notes?" He said, "Dude, I hadn't preached that hardly at all yet. You're the first person that ever heard that." And he gave them to me anyway. I said, "I promise I won't preach them, but they're so good, I just want to hang on to them." And so we'd like to invite you out. Put that on your calendar now, a little less than 4 weeks away, but we would love to have you come and be a part of that great celebration. Today we're going to go in the Word to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be in verse number 35. We're going to be setting the stage for the next spiritual truth that we are going to be discussing, but we've got to establish the groundwork first, the foundation. So we want you to have an adequate understanding of everything that takes place in the next passage we'll be discussing. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So the first question I have to ask you today is, who is giving you your orders? who is giving you your orders? Now, this was very early in Jesus' ministry. It was very early in the disciples following Jesus. And so I'm sure there's a great learning curve that is taking place as Jesus continues to reveal himself and make his true nature known through his ministry. But here he tells them, he said, let us cross over to the other side. So the first thing that I want to have you focus on is Jesus said, let us cross over. It didn't say, let us start, but we're not going to finish. It didn't say, you start, but don't worry about the finishing. He lets them know that this is not a project that is going to be just them. It was a project for him and for those around him. So there are a lot of people who sometimes forget about whose voice they should be following, whose orders they should be following. I've told you the story before of the person who had been given an assignment by the boss, but an under supervisor under that boss came and because they had a very boisterous personality, wasn't me. Just wanted to make that known. Wasn't me. Undermined the orders of the person who had given the orders and said, no, don't do it that way, do it this way. And the person who gave the orders was not too happy, but they used that moment as a teaching opportunity. And so what they said is, look, I know why you did what you did, because that person has a very loud, boisterous, demanding personality. And the person shook their head, yeah, and that wasn't me either. And then the person who had given the original order said this, now, if you want, I can give you orders in that manner, or I can continue to treat you like an adult and a professional and keep my calm, conduct myself in a very serene manner. And if you will allow me to, that's the way I prefer to communicate, as long as I know you're going to follow my direction. So who are you listening to? Every time that I hear that something is the most popular, I go back to the children of Israel in the wilderness, where the multitude did not want to go into the promised land, and the multitude was wrong. And so you have to understand who is giving you the orders. Now, it's not just the fact that this was a rabbi. They are getting ready to see that Jesus is not only a great teacher, but he is a person with authority beyond anything that they had ever seen before. So do not let your doubt, do not let your fear, do not let your uncertainty, do not let your inexperience, do not let any other voice or any other thing interfere with you following the orders. Now pay attention, remember the orders. See, Eve got in trouble because she did not remember the orders that God had given to her. The disciples here get into the middle of their journey. They have a challenge, and all of a sudden, they forget what the order had to say about the launch, about the journey, and about the destination. So when Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side, rest assured that they were going to get to the other side. It didn't matter what the devil had planned, did not matter, you know, how high the waves were or how intense the wind was, how small the boat was or how big the boat was. None of that mattered. When Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side, the result was already predetermined. When God said, let there be light, bam, there it was. And so understand the power of the orders and who is giving you those orders. The next question I have to ask, or you may want to ask, is who is responsible for your safety? When you are following Jesus' orders, you have to understand that you may be playing a part in the process, but the ultimate responsibility relies upon Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The responsibility to build, the responsibility to get the disciples to the other side was firmly resting upon Jesus' shoulder. As a pastor, my job is to set people up to succeed in their faith journey. My job is to equip them with the word so that they do not sin against God. They hide the word in their heart. They don't sin against God. My job is to equip them with the word so that when they are tempted, they are able to respond with the word and send the tempter off in defeat. So if we're having a building project, my job is to set people up to succeed. My wife and I were watching an old television program. We have an over-the-air antenna, and because modern television has changed so drastically, we have found some of the free old programming. And we were watching an old program, and it was showing how these two people were setting a person up over and over again for damage, for being injured or killed, and they were going to get rich off of this, and their plans just kept falling apart. I shared this at our church earlier in the month of May, and that is Jesus is tenacious on your behalf. I think it's very important to remind you that the devil is not just some likable guy that just happens to do bad things. He is a horrible individual. He is a thief. He is a murderer, and he is a destroyer, and he is fully driven not for one single thing that is in your best interest. He is out to devastate you. He is out to destroy you, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who laid down his life for the sheep. And so you need to understand that that he carries the responsibility. He orders your steps. He lights your pathway. He surrounds you with other people in the body of Christ. He provides provision for you financially, emotionally, supernaturally, if need be. God is not going to abandon you. He said he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And so in verse number 36, it said, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Here the disciples are confusing the peace that Jesus has because he is the Prince of Peace with a lack of care or a lack of compassion. They thought he wasn't concerned at all that they were going to die. And so he is not bothered by the storm at all because he understands who's in control. So the third question that I have for you today is who is responsible for your reaction to the storms in life that you may face? Who's responsible for your reaction to the storm? And so there are lots of different reactions, just some of them that I discovered as I was reading through the Word. A lot of times people respond with fear. We see that here, verse number 40, why are you so fearful? We see that they doubt, and we'll see that in another passage. Sometimes that they respond in faith. That's what Jesus was expecting them to do. Sometimes they respond in joy. Sometimes people respond in anger. And so I told our congregation recently that whenever you are pressed, whenever you are squeezed, whenever it feels like things are closing in around you, what will come out of you is what is on the inside of you. Now, that can be a bad thing, but it can also be a good thing. It can be a bad thing if what comes out is not the fruit of the Spirit, but you start manifesting the works of the flesh. That's the reality there. But it can be a good thing, even if it's a bad reaction, if you bring it to Jesus, repent of it, and ask him to forgive you of that and to remove it from your life. And so, from my understanding, there are different classifications of olive oil. There's olive oil, and then there's virgin olive oil and extra virgin olive oil. And from what I understand, it has to do with the oil that is produced upon, whether it's the first squeezing, the second squeezing, or a subsequent squeezing. That, you know, it depends on how much pressure you put on it. I pray that whenever you are coming across a storm in your life, that it does not send you into a panic, but instead it causes you to cry out to Jesus, not the way that these disciples did, thinking that he didn't care and he wasn't concerned about them at all. John 13 said he loved them to the uttermost. He loved them to the full. And so, but Jesus is responsible for, or you're responsible for your reaction. Jesus is responsible for your safety. And so react in a manner that is going to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So verse number 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So the next question is, who is responsible for calming the storm? And the answer to that is Jesus. I have never seen a storm that lasted forever. I've seen some intense storms when I was a teenager. I saw a tornado land within about 125 feet of where I was standing. It devastated our part of town. I had a relative that was on her way to our house, and it sent a piece of rebar up through her rear bumper, just barely missing the gas tank. It could have been catastrophic. Friend of mine was caught in that storm and ended up under a mobile post office. It was like a gazebo, and the tornado came and just ripped it to shreds, and it landed on top of her car. She ended up being okay. It makes for quite a story, but it was a very, very intense storm. When I graduated from Bible college, I think two of my last nights in college, we spent in the basement because there were tornado warnings for our campus both nights. No storm lasts forever. Every storm that we have, the devil has a purpose for it, and that is to detach your faith or undermine your faith in Jesus. And Jesus has a purpose for every storm in your life, and that is that you come away with even greater faith in who he is. Jesus is responsible for calming the storm, and all it takes for him is for a word of authority, a word of decree from the throne of grace. In this case, he says, "Peace, be still." The wind dies down, and there was not just calm, but a great calm. Now, I can tell you that normally if things are turning pretty good in the water, that it doesn't just automatically become calm. It takes a while for the waves to lose some of their energy and you know, things just begin slowly to lose their intensity, and that's how the calm comes about. But Jesus, with just one word, you know, I think it would be in our best interest many times to go back and look and see what happens when Jesus speaks. If you go back to Genesis, you can see that. One of the favorite passages that I have is in Revelation chapter 4. It's one of my favorite passages. And verse number 2 says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he sat there, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne," listen to this, excuse me, "proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures." I want you to know that heaven is a dynamic place. Even right now, John had just got through dealing with or being told about the messages he needed to deliver to seven churches. And upon the conclusion of that, he gets ushered into the presence of God, and he sees that God has not lost control of the circumstance or is negligent, but he is still speaking. Heaven is a dynamic place. And Jesus is responsible for calming your storm. So the last question is, what is the purpose of the event? What is the purpose of the event? Now, if you look in Mark chapter 4, and at the end of chapter 4, they get to the other side, and chapter 5, verse number 1, they encounter a person who is tormenting a community that is, that man is demon-possessed. He's striking fear into the hearts of everyone that he comes in contact with. Jesus was on his way to deliver that person from the demons that had possessed him. He could have been a great blessing to the community, but they were more comfortable with a person that was bringing terror to their community than they were in someone who restored him to their right mind. That man's deliverance cost them a bunch of pigs. I'm here to tell you that if God speaks and moves sovereignly in Merritt Island and Central Brevard County, Merritt Assembly of God, I don't care how many of the pigs that we have in our lives it cost us. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. They begged Jesus to leave. So there was a purpose. There was a purpose there in the journey. And you need to understand that God does not do anything without there being a purpose. He doesn't waste anything. But there was also a purpose for the disciples. So Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Okay? There is very little difference between having no faith and having faith but failing to use it. There is no benefit to, perfect love casting out fear if every time we reach something that upsets the normalcy that we're used to operating by, if we're going to suddenly resurrect fear and let it control our lives. So Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful, and how is it that you have no faith?" He's calling them to a point of inspecting themselves and say, why did I respond that way? I had a conversation with a person one time. We were discussing a situation, and there were people that he knew who had, you know, I knew some of the facts about the situation, and they had not responded in a godly manner. And this person said, whenever something like that happens, I ask myself, why do they walk that way? Why did they respond that way? So I don't want to beat you up for, you know, any responses to storms in your life. I want to ask you, why did you respond that way? And here's the last response to the event. It says here, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Anytime Jesus gives you an order and you say, yes, Lord, and he begins that journey with you, anytime anything happens along that journey, it should lead you, it should lead me to a greater revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus does not just want to be Lord over your Sunday mornings. He wants to be Lord over every one of your mornings. He wants to be Lord over your midday and over your afternoon and your evening and your night. He doesn't just want to be Lord over you at church. He wants to be Lord over you at work. He wants his authority to be seen whenever and however, in every arena of your life. He wants you to see, no matter what storm comes your way, that he is bigger than the storm, able to calm the storm, and able to calm his child as well. I don't remember who sings that song, but I was like, I like that. He can calm the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. But we're setting the groundwork tomorrow. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 as we get ready to send you off into the weekend. But I pray today that you will have a greater understanding that when Jesus says, this is what we're going to do, you're going to do it, you're going to be successful, and you're going to be a blessing to other people's lives, and you're going to come away knowing more about Jesus than you've ever known before. You have a great Thursday. I'm going to try my best to have a great Thursday, too. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.